If you will, please, let's turn together to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. Last week we concluded chapter 19, so we'll begin at the beginning of chapter 20. And if you will, please, let's read together verses 1 through 11. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine, and all that I have. And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put in their hand and take it away. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, Hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king, All that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first, I will do. But this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, The gods do so unto me and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for the handfuls for all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Father, thank you for this Lord's Day. Thank you for the blessing it's been to think about our mothers and to seek to honor them. And thank you for everyone that's come back to church tonight. And Lord, we just ask for your blessing on the remainder of this service. We pray that you would be honored by all that's said and done. I pray once again and ask, Lord, please, for the help of your Spirit to quicken us to be able to communicate your word clearly, to be able to receive it and understand it, and then, Lord, to live it, to live the truth that we consider tonight. Please, Lord, guide our thoughts and words, and may you be honored throughout the remainder of this evening. May your people find help through your word, Lord. We ask that you would feed your sheep tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. King Ahab's epitaph is recorded in chapter 21 and verse 25, and it describes him as a man, quote, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. In other words, King Ahab was a man for sale. He was a man for sale, and true to his character, this weak king was quick to sell out or to give up things that were truly valuable, materially, socially, and spiritually. Before we're so quick to criticize Ahab, we also need to recognize that even today, God's people are often very quick at giving up sacred ground in their homes, in their personal lives, and in their churches. We don't necessarily give up ground to a foreign king, but we have an enemy, an evil trinity, if you will, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil is described as ever seeking to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There are things that this world that's ruled by Satan, it's in his lap, that they want to take from us. They want to rob some things that are very precious. And unfortunately, again, we, like King Ahab, are often all too quick to sell out. Now the question is, when will we decide that enough is enough? When will we stop giving in to the enemy's demands and instead take back the ground which we may have already given up? Our message title tonight is this: Enough is Enough. Enough is enough. And we're going to see how Israel's King Ahab weakly caved in to the demands of a foreign king until, with the help of some good counsel, he finally took a stand. He finally said, no, enough is enough. And what we learn tonight is going to especially encourage us not to compromise with the desires of our old sin nature, our flesh, or to the demands of a good, despising, God-hating world, but instead to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to take our stand for Christ and say, we're not giving up anything to the world, the flesh, and the devil. These things belong to the Lord. So let's consider tonight five related ideas seen in our text. We'll note the claiming, the consenting, the counseling, the ceasing, and the contending. So our first thought is found in verses 1 through 3. We call this the claiming. So sometime after Elijah in the preceding chapters had defeated Ahab's and Jezebel's state church false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, Israel's weak and wicked king faces yet another challenge. This time, Ben-Hadad, as described in our text, the king of Syria, comes up and besieges Samaria, which was the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. He comes up, he besieges the city, and he's going to war against that city, Ahab being the king over the northern kingdom and reigning from that city. Regarding this, a fellow preacher said of this man, Ben-Hadad, he was Ben-Hadad II, the son of Ben-Hadad who had invaded the northern kingdom earlier during the reign of Baasha. That was seen back in chapter 15, verse 20. His reference to the cities which my father took from thy father, in verse 34 of this chapter, affirmed this. The 32 kings described there in verse 1 who are with him, who went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it with him, these, quote, were vassals from surrounding cities and states who had no choice other than to support him. And he struck at a time when the children of Israel had been weakened by famine. So this is what's going on. The king of Syria knows that Israel's in a difficult place, and so now he comes up and he's going to fight against Samaria. Now, as described in verses 2 and 3, like the Egyptian Pharaoh at the time of the Exodus who wanted to hold on to Israel's possessions, women and children, you remember that? Moses comes in, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. He says, well, I'll let the men go, but I'm going to hold on to your women, your children, and your possessions. He wants to claim those things. Hold on to them. Take what doesn't belong to him. Well, in a similar vein, Ben-Hadad sends messengers to Ahab claiming as his own Israel's wealth, silver and gold, Israel's most beautiful, gifted, and intelligent women and children. This was a bold power grab by a foreign power, someone who had no right to make such a claim upon God's people or their possessions. Thus saith Ben-Hadad, verse 2, thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And as we've already mentioned, still today, the world pictured by, Egypt, Pharaoh, the head of it, and here again, Ben-Hadad, the world, the flesh, and the devil in similar manner are ever seeking to lay claim upon God's people and their possessions. How so? Well, our enemies demand that we cave to our old desires and the pressure to use our bodies, time, talents, and treasures for selfish and ungodly purposes and not for glorifying God and advancing His kingdom. In essence, the devil says, hey, your silver and gold, I want it. I want it to be used for my purposes, not to serve the Lord. Your wives, we want your wives serving me and not God, and your children as well. We need to recognize that tendency, and we need to remind ourselves that these things are not ours to give because they belong to God. Satan once tempted our Lord Jesus Christ, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Hey, claim these things for yourself. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. In essence, the Lord said, it's not for sale, and we're not giving it up. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Our bodies are not ours to give away or to use for whatever purposes this world may tempt us to use them for, but to serve the Lord. But Ben-Hadad comes along and he says, hey, your silver, your gold is mine, your wives and your children. We sing these words, see our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down, the world claiming them, claiming families. So there's the claiming. Secondly, there is the consenting, or we could say the compromising or the capitulating. Verse 4, and the king of Israel answered and said, my Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine, and all that I have. Rather than immediately rejecting the demands of this son of a false god, which is what his name literally means, Ben-Hadad, means son of Hadad, which was a false god, a Syrian god. So rather than saying no to this son of a false god, Ahab quickly consents, he compromises, he capitulates. He says to this wicked king, my Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. Instead of saying that to Ben-Hadad, Ahab should have said it in truth to the Lord God. Because if Israel's king had lived in complete submission to the Lord, things would have been vastly different in Israel, and the Syrians very likely would not have been standing at Samaria's doorstep. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And had Ahab on Mount Carmel seen the Lord God demonstrate his power, and fell on his knees and said, I am thine, O Lord, and all that I have. And things would have changed. We have to believe that. God would have come to their defense. But now, rather than surrendering to the Lord, he's consenting and capitulating to the world, heathens, false gods, the son of a false god. You and I need to yield to the Lord, all that we are and have. We ought to say this to the Lord God, my Lord, O King, I am thine and all that I have. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips, and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. Only one life to offer. Take it, dear Lord, I pray. Nothing from thee withholding. Thy will I now obey. Thou who hast freely given thine all in all for me. Claim this life for thine own, to be used, my Savior, every moment for thee. We sang the song, A Christian Home, this morning. We didn't sing the last verse. Maybe it's unfortunate we didn't. The last verse begins with these words, O Lord our God, our homes are thine forever. Lord, my silver and my gold is yours. My wife and my children are yours to be serving you and dedicated fully to you and not to the service of the gods of this world. But Ahab consents. You say, well, that solved it, right? This is a good liberal king here. That's how you, you get victory over the enemy, right? You just capitulate and give in, and things are going to get better. That's how you defeat enemies. Right? No, it doesn't happen that way. Because we read it on in our text, verse 5 says, the messengers came again and said, thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, or Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sent unto thee, saying, thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants. And it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put in their hand and take it away. Now we might could understand if Ahab had been willing to take sweet Jezebel. And he might have sent message back. Now remember, you get free two-day shipping with Temu, and we can free delivery, we'll bring her. No. Just joking there. But anyhow, we might can understand how he'd say, well, you know, look at this little number right here, you know. Anyhow. Probably, though, Ben-Hadad would have returned her. He'd have brought her back before he ever got out of the county. But anyhow, Ahab, he just consents. He consents to Ben-Hadad's claims, not recognizing that that would have brought much suffering upon many innocent people. How quick he was willing to just sell this out. Wives, children. He's like, sure, go ahead. That was a problem. But again, as verses 5 and 6 show, that didn't satisfy this foreign king. Because as Ben-Hadad saw how quickly Ahab was willing to give up these people and possessions without showing the least resistance, the king of Syria then sends messengers again. Says, hey, although you've agreed, you've consented to do this, you've capitulated here, I'm going to send my messengers tomorrow about this time, and they're going to search your house. And whatever looks good to you, they're going to take away. Now that's kind of interesting wording. I would say whatever looks good to them, they're going to take. But they're walking through the house. They're kind of watching Ahab. He looks over there. He's like, man, I hope they don't get those golf clubs or whatever. They're like, boys, take the golf clubs. Whatever was valuable in his sight, that's what's going to get taken away. Now listen, Satan has he places no value on spiritual things. But whatever is valuable, whatever we count precious, that's the things he wants to take away, the things that are valuable. And so he's going to send these servants to take whatever's precious, whatever's pleasant and good in Ahab's eyes. Now again, if Ahab had stood his ground against Ben-Hadad's first demand, it is very likely that he would not have had to take a stand against this further demand. And there's a lesson for us. It teaches us, spiritually speaking, which is where we make our application primarily, that compromise with the world, the flesh, and the devil never works. It does not work. For everything we give, every area we yield in, only reveals our weaknesses and encourages them to take more. And the more we feed our flesh, the stronger its appetite grows and the more it will demand and eat. The more you feed it, the more it eats. You say, well, I'm just going to yield to this temptation one time and then after that, then I'll stop. No. Because when you yield once, it makes it easier to yield again and again and again. And the devil knows that. But Ahab, again, he yields, he capitulates, and it results in more demands being made, more claims being made upon the nation. You and I must yield to God. We must say, Lord, all that I have and all that I am is thine. At the same time, we must resist the devil. We must say no to the flesh and all the demands that it places on us. We must say no to all that displeases God. There can be absolutely no compromise if we want consistent victory in our lives. This is where we miss it. I think we miss victory right here. because we think we can, you know, just kind of come to friendly terms with the world and the flesh, and if we'll just do that and just kind of peacefully coexist, then we can live victoriously that way. It absolutely cannot work that way. Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It's yes or no. It's taking a stand. Romans 6, verse 11, Paul said, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Sunday school this morning, we studied Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. And that present resurrection in the life is to display itself by the way we live right now in newness of life. Not just a future hope, that's there, but present power. And we do that by reckoning ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God and yielding to Him. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Again, this is where we miss it. We don't want to be looked at as fanatical. We don't want to be looked at as being extreme or narrow, or, you know, heaven forbid that someone would think that we're a weaker brother because we won't, you know, dabble in the temptations of the world. No. We ought to just clearly take a stand and say, no, we're not going to compromise, and we don't gain victory by capitulating. It never works that way. Now, some may capitulate to the flesh and in their minds deceive themselves and think they're living in victory. That's not victory. If we're yielding to the flesh, we are not living victoriously. That which is of the flesh is flesh. I mean, you can dress it up, you know, sanitize it, whatever. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit. And we can't mingle the two. So again, Ahab consents. He compromises. He capitulates. And it results in more claims being made upon things that are perhaps, at least in Ahab's sight, even more precious. Thirdly, there's the counseling. Verse 7. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent him to me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, hearken not unto him, nor consent. So upon hearing this latest demand from Ben-Hadad, Ahab called a meeting with Israel's elders and presented to them this situation. Well, it's unfortunate that Ahab did not seek the Lord at Ben-Hadad's first demand. I mean, he's a man who's for sale. And as soon as the request is made, he just sells out. No questions asked. Whatever you want. He didn't call for Elijah. I mean, he had just seen the Lord bring down fire on Mount Carmel. Maybe he could have said, Elijah, we have some problem here. Do you think you might could get the Lord to send down, you know, some fire like right outside the city walls of Samaria? No. He doesn't do that. But here, again, after he's compromised once, now he calls for all the elders. And he begins by describing how, as if it were a virtuous thing, he had attempted to be very accommodating to the demands of this foreign king. He's like, man, let me tell you something. I have been so good to this man. I mean, he asked for my silver and my gold. I gave it to him. He asked for my wives. I gave it to them, you know, especially Joseph. And he asked for my children. And I gave it. I mean, I've been a really good guy. I've tried to you know, to give in and to yield here and there. And, you know, I've been so loving to Ben-Hadad. But now he tells him, but Mark, I guess that was the name of one of the elders. He says, Mark, I pray you. No, it means look at this. I hope you're going to see this. Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. You know, men, I really think he just wants to be mischievous. I think he really doesn't have our best in mind here. I think he really doesn't like us. It's like, hello. Ahab should have recognized this at Ben-Hadad's first demand. And you and I ought to recognize that the world, the flesh, and the devil always have mischief and not our good in mind when they make the least demand upon us. You know, he's just trying to be good, and you know, he deserves our silver and gold, our wives. It's always, you know, the devil, he shows the worm, but not the hook. He shows the pleasure, but not the pain and the suffering that follows. In any case, as they heard Ahab's pitiful plight, the elders and all the people with them said unto Ahab in verse 8, hearken not unto him, nor consent. In other words, they encouraged Ahab to say, enough is enough. Enough is enough, and take a stand. Though Ahab was cursed to have a wicked wife who stirred him up to do evil, he was blessed here to have some people who stirred him up instead to take a stand for Israel and to protect those things that God had given to them. And you and I ought to thank God for the people he places in our lives who encourage us to take a stand and not to give in to the world, the flesh, and the devil. A true friend is one that's going to say, no, don't consent. Say no. Don't give in. Don't yield. And those who encourage us to yield and give in, that's not a true friend, however kind and sweet they may seem to be. Today, if we're wise, we'll seek to surround ourselves with people like this, people who strengthen us to stand for the Lord. David said in Psalm 119:63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Not just those who know it. Say, well, we know that, and that's kind of optional. No, I'm a companion of those that keep thy precepts. They're gonna do that. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's the kind of friends we need to be and the kinds that we need. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Having others stand with us to strengthen our stand and not to cave in to the demands of the flesh. Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, sent them out two by two for many reasons. And he doesn't explicitly state them, but obviously one of the reasons was to help strengthen one another. You know, to give them courage and boldness to preach the gospel. Acts 18:5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That was in Corinth. Corinth was an intimidating place to go and preach. And when Paul goes there, initially, he's a little bit timid with his message. He's not very bold, but when he has two men that show up, Silas and Timothy, who themselves weren't perhaps the most bold and outgoing people, but nevertheless, their presence there with Paul gave him some boldness, so much so that he's pressed in the Spirit and he begins pressing the claims of Christ. He has a greater boldness. And this is the counseling that Ahab receives. Consent not. Just say Enough is enough. Fourthly, then, is the ceasing or the canceling. Verse 9, wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king, all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him, Ben-Hadad, word again. So with the support of the elders and all the people standing behind him, Ahab returns word to Ben-Hadad by his own messengers that enough was enough. And King Ahab would cease yielding to these demands. Ahab was canceling Ben-Hadad's claims. No more. Enough is enough. And this took some courage on the part of Ahab, and it challenges us not to fear people, but to stand for God and to do right. Proverbs 28:4 says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Paul said, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We ought to be willing to just take a stand, not fear what people think. It really doesn't, ultimately, it doesn't matter, you know, how people evaluate us. But it does matter that we stand for right and please the Lord. And that leads us to our final thought, and that is the challenging, the contending, or the countering. Verse 10, and Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, the gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. So when the son of the fake god Ben-Hadad received this latest message from Ahab, the king of Syria returns a boastful challenge of how he, by his gods, was going to assemble an innumerable fighting force which Samaria couldn't possibly defeat. The implication is, I'm going to have more people with me than you have dust in Samaria. But this time, as we read in verse 11, this time Ahab stands his ground. He does not back down. He very confidently counters Ben-Hadad's challenge with his own statement, which is this, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. You wonder if the elders who heard Ben-Hadad or Ahab send that message thought, you know, they take a double take. Is that Jezebel throwing her voice? Is that really Ahab speaking there? He shows some boldness. His statement is basically this. Hey, don't count the battle won until you fought it, buddy. Hey, you better not count your chickens, you know. Don't count your chickens before they hatch, big boy. He's not backing down. He's taking a stand. And we learn something here. Earlier we saw how Ahab's capitulation and compromise made it easier for him to make further compromises. He yields, it's easier to yield. But the opposite is also true. He finally says, hey, enough is enough. He takes a stand. And then he has a little bit more courage to take a bolder stand. And he says, hey, you tell him, don't count this battle won until it's fought. We're not going to back down. We're going to fight. It's a wonderful lesson. Songwriter put it this way in the battle against temptation, each victory will help you some other to win. You win here, it'll help you win there. You yield to the flesh here, it'll help you to yield to the flesh there. So you got to say, enough is enough. I'm going to take my sin. And as we take that stand, we'll have strength to take further stands and live in victory. Every time we submit to God and resist the devil, we are strengthened in the spirit to win further battles against the world, the flesh and the devil. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Period. That applies to so many areas of life. Rather than yielding to our flesh and the pressures, the temptations of the world, again, that want to lay claim on all these things that God has given us as stewards to be used for Him, rather than yielding, which only weakens us, let's decide, let's make up our mind in God's strength that enough is enough. Let's walk in the Spirit and stand up for Jesus. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the lessons that we've been able to consider tonight from even from wicked old King Ahab. Lord, forgive us where we have willingly and knowingly yielded to the flesh. God, I pray that You would strengthen our resolve and that even tonight in this service it would be a turning point for us, a place where we just drive down our stake and say, no further. Enough is enough. And we're going to just walk in the Spirit and not yield to the flesh. Just make up our minds. We're going to be all in, all out for Jesus Christ. Please give us that courage, Lord. Give us that will. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, may I ask you this question. Have you made the decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and to let go of your sins? Have you made up that decision? That's where it begins, to take sides with the Son of God. Have you done that? How many tonight could say, preacher, that has happened in my life. I've repented of my sins. I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord. I'm saved tonight. I know it. I'm on the Lord's side. If you can say that, would you quietly just raise your hand? You say, that's me. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be among the Lord's soldiers, the Lord's people. A Christian, are you fully yielded to the Lord? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Are you relying upon His strength and saying no to temptation? Are you taking an uncompromising stand for God, holiness, and the Spirit? Is there any area where you're yielding, you're capitulating, you're compromising? Look, that is where we miss it. That's what weakens us. How many tonight would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart, and by His grace, I'm going to take a firm stand. Maybe it's against some specific temptation in your life, however it applies to you, but you say, God has challenged my heart, and by His grace, I'm going to take a clear stand for Him. If that's your heart tonight, would you quietly raise your hand? Thank you. God bless you. Hands all over, folks. We're in this battle together. We face the same temptations. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And God will give us strength to overcome. Lord, thank You so much for the privilege that it is to stand before Your people and to give Your word. And I thank You for the humility and receptivity of Your people and responsiveness. And I sincerely pray for Your blessing upon each and every one. Lord, strengthen us this week. Strengthen us this evening, Lord, because temptation abounds. Temptation is within us. Lord, we have this flesh within us. God, help us, strengthen us to take a clear stand and not to yield in any way to the flesh. And may we find new victory and strength that we've never perhaps known before, Lord, as we find You strengthening us, as we yield to You and as we give You our all and we link up with Your power and Your strength and live in that resurrection life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.